name is Pooja Apana, and today I'm here with my friend Ashi. Listener, welcome to Woodside Lane.
I first want to go to Broadway, but in order for me to do that, I have to sing, act, and dance. And then on top of that, I also play a few instruments. I play the ukulele, the saxophone, and the piano.
Oh, cool.
I'm trying to learn a language, my mom's language, Bisaya. I have to work out and I have to still like study for school and like keep that up and then maintain a social media presence and physically look good and feel good.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's a lot because there's so many different things to keep up with because it's not just a one way. Everyone can take this path and they'll get there to success, right?
Right.
So especially being a person of color, like I don't always have that extra leg up over everyone. So I have to be, and this is going to sound so like, maybe, I don't know, egotistical, but I have to be better than everyone. I have to have more skills for everyone just to be even considered, you know, for this position. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I completely agree. I don't think it's egotistical at all.
Yeah.
I think if you're a person of color or a person of a minority group, it's something that I think we have to experience every day in our lives, which is also why, you know, when people are like, oh, maybe like, you know, you're at NYU Stern, you shouldn't try as hard. That's not
exactly really how it works. Yeah, exactly. You still have to put in the work in order to get the job.
Yeah.
And so I guess to answer your question, the things that I do every day is really simple things. Like I wake up in the morning, I'm listening to a book called The Secret of American Musicals. So I like to indulge myself in Broadway to learn about it. I meditate, I stretch because I wanted my body to
Do you have like a morning routine?
Oh yeah, I was telling Ryan about this. I wake up, it's winter break, so I wake up at like 9 realistically, but like I try to wake up around like 6 or 7. I'll wake up, I do what everyone else does, scroll through my phone, but I'll stretch while I'm scrolling through my phone, checking my emails, checking my bank account. And then I go into like deeper split stretches while I'm either listening to an audiobook or listening to a podcast, but more audiobook. And then from there, I do either a little bit of a workout, either just like push-ups or just handstands, and then I make breakfast and get on with my day. I don't really have a huge morning routine, but like if I stick to that, like just working little by little, I'm able to get to my dreams and goals. But yeah.
It's really cool because like especially getting all those things done, like usually in the morning, if I don't do all these things done, I like look at the time and 3 hours have passed.
Yeah.
It's like, it's nuts. So yeah, I just thought it was really cool when Wyatt was telling me that you had like a morning routine because yeah. I thought it was really fun.
I read this book called Eat That Frog. Have you read it?
No, I have not.
Okay, so it's literally about doing the majority of your tasks in the morning to get it over with throughout the day. You do, I think it was like you do 20% in the morning. Oh yeah, 20% done like in the morning, like gets rid of 80% of the things you actually need to do in the day.
Yeah.
Okay, did I say, was that?
Yes,
okay,
yes, did I that remember make sense? That, yes.
Great, okay. So yeah, that's what Eat That Frog talks about. And that's literally what it is. Like you get rid of like all the things that you have to do in the morning that make you productive so that you can just, the rest of the day is just like stuff that you already do, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like if you get it all done in the morning, then you're pretty much done. Like if you get your practice done in the morning, if you get your routine done, your meditation, then you set yourself up to have an amazing day because everything else just adds to it, but it's not the most important thing. So you already got done over with.
No, for sure. So have you been meditating for a long time?
Oh girl, no. Like I'm giving this podcast to a new Ashi. Like literally last semester was awful. Like this winter break, I was like, I literally made a 180.
Really?
And like changed everything about what I was doing. Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, sure. Oh man, last semester was 2021. Coming back to being in person was a huge, huge shock for me. Because I mean, we left, I guess, are you also a junior as well?
Yes, I am.
So we left freshman year. We had a year and a half. I mean, we had a,
a year.
A semester. Yeah. Yeah. Not even a full year in person. So we had a semester and then we left halfway through that semester. So I have been in Houston for a year and a half by myself, you know, just like doing Zoom school and stuff like that, which has been fine. Like I actually didn't really bother me, but I learned a lot about being by myself and I was really okay with being by myself because kind of I was forced to be by myself. So I was okay with that. Mm-hmm. But once I got back, like the all the like freshman insecurities came back. Felt like I was so dependent on the other people. I like wanted to cater to just everyone and I had such a hard time catering to myself and giving myself time to just be. And so I lost like a lot of my inspiration. I lost a lot of joy, a lot of control, you know, the control and the stability that I had. I lost a lot of that too. So when I came back for winter break, I was like I don't know what to do. I need to like get my crap together. So, you know, I like my dad really, really helped me out with this, but we went to the gym every day or every other day to keep it healthy. But we went every other day. We I read a lot more. I like just started researching Broadway more, like how to get there, and like people's stories. And so like that's why I'm saying like I'm coming to this podcast like a completely different person. Yeah. Like the person that you're hearing is not someone who's been doing this for years and years and years. It's right. actually someone who's just started doing this like a few weeks ago. But it's made a huge difference in my life. Now the musical theater and the modeling and all that, that's I've been doing that for a long time. But like the actual actions to becoming the person that I wanna be, that's fairly new for me. Has been a huge support system. I literally told you, like at 9 he asked me what I wanted to do, and then from there he supported me throughout that time. Every morning we have our morning routines, but he was definitely a big support system, and it was just being in that environment where everyone was like working towards their dreams and goals, and every morning had a purpose to wake up in the morning, and that helped. But once I got here, it was like, oh, like, you know, all of us are doing different things. Right. My roommates are doing different things. So it was like, how do I, like, self-sustain, you know?
Right, of course. Yeah. And have, like, since you started that a couple weeks ago, you know, has it been difficult? Have you had moments where you're kind of just like, oh, my God, this is so exhausting. Like, I don't really want to do this anymore. I just want to sit in bed and not do it and whatever. And I guess, how do you sort of come out of that mindset?
Yeah, of course. I don't think there's anyone who, like, doesn't have those moments. I mean, I want to quit this all the time. It's so funny. Like, this is something, like, my dad's like, I'm like, I think I'm going to quit, you know? And he's like, okay, well, what are you going to do instead? And I'm like, okay, I don't have a plan B. I don't have anything else I don't want to do, but so I'm just going to
consider this. That's really cool that your dad's kind of like your person of accountability. Has he always been like that?
He has always been like that, yeah. In fact, I don't think I would have been able to get into NYU or the High School for the Performing and Visual Arts without him. I mean, like, he's kicked my ass every step of the way, in a good way.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty awesome. And I think that was my biggest fear coming back because, you know, this winter break, he was kind of like, all right, this is what we need to do. And then when I was coming back, I was like, well, shit, can I do it? Oh, sorry,
No, it's okay.
Okay, cool. I was like, well, shit, can I do it? Like, can I do it without you, you know? Like, I was so afraid to let go. But then I did, and I'm here now, and I feel more confident than ever that I myself can sustain myself and work towards my dreams and goals, because I'm like disconnecting from him, but because I trust him even more now. Like I trust myself to be able to call him and be like, I'm having a bad day. I need some support, or I need some, you know, some guidance, instead of just being like, oh, I'm independent and I'm just gonna do this all on my own. Because we can't.
Yeah.
We can't do this all on our own. I mean, you're doing this podcast with a partner, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
no,
if you're doing this
sure.
by yourself, it would be so much harder. Like, oh, literally, yeah. There is nothing that we do like completely independently. And so my goal for this semester is also to build a team of, you know, a support system for myself that can help me, you know, drive me towards my dreams and goals too. Just, you know, so if there are any Broadway people out there that want a friend, I gotcha. Come find me.
No, that's super awesome. I find it really interesting that like your dad, like, and you have such a like really close relationship. It sounds super pure and super helpful. Like, personally, with my parents, you know, love them to death. It has not always been like that, you know? Like, So it's interesting.
What was it like for you when you grew up, growing up?
Yeah, so it was really interesting because my mom was super ambitious growing up. She's always been kind of the go-getter, kind mm-hmm. of really my inspiration in a lot of things I do. She's also a perfectionist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she and a lot of the time when I grew up, it was like it really got me to do things really well. But it was hard for me as a kid to understand that perfection isn't the correct way to live. I say this all the time now. Perfection is a disease.
Yeah.
Right? And it took me coming out of that environment and, you know, learning that myself to even, like, help my mom see the similar thing of, like, you know, obviously doing the best you can is wonderful and appreciate the way you can do the best for yourself. But perfection isn't something that we should necessarily aim for. Because it is something that will never happen, right? So that's why I find it so interesting because, you know, the thing is, like, my mom definitely inspired my work ethic. Like, if she was up in the morning at 3 a.m. doing something, I probably was the same.
Right.
She, like, used to come to my room at that time and she'd be like, okay, Pooja, time to go to bed. I'm like, are you going to bed? She'd be like, no. And I'm like, okay. I'd be like, great. So when you go to bed, then I'll go to bed.
Right, right.
And so that's why I find it really interesting because, like, you know, has it always been like this between you and your dad since you were a kid?
So when I, around 14, this was like right before my auditions for PVA. Like this conversation was December and my audition was in January and I'd find out if I got it in February. I, like, you know when you have depression and, like, literally color, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but color literally disappears. Like, everything just seems
interesting. Dark. I've never heard about that before. Yeah.
So there is, I don't know if it's, like, scientific or whatever, but, like, when things just feel bleak and sad, literally color, like, leaves the world. And I was feeling so alone and... like, I was straight up suicidal. Like, I like, wanted to take my own life, but I wanted to do it in a way... though, you know what? It wasn't even that I wanted to take my own life. I just wanted to die. I just wanted to, like, not wake up in the morning. And I remember, like, I had a conversation with my dad about that, and I found out that he didn't want to either. Like, literally, we were keeping each other going. And... he made me make a promise. He was like, if we can make it to February, which is when I'd find out if I got into school, then we'll keep going, right? So that's the promise that we made because I just wanted to end it so quickly. Like, I didn't even care about finding out about school or anything. Like, I just didn't want to be here anymore. And so he made me make a promise because he was like, we'll find out in February. Like, if we get in, like, if you get in, we have a reason to keep going. And then I got in and it was never thought about again. You know, I, like, that dark time was literally behind me. Like, there's nothing, I mean, I don't know about now or later on, but, like, there is nothing that can put me in that place again, ever again, because I was there for so long. And getting into HSPVA and seeing my dreams and goals in front of my eyes, like, for the very first time, it literally gave me a reason to live. And I think it's why I'm in this for so long, because, like, you know when they're like, oh, theater saved my life. Like, no, yeah. I'm not fucking kidding. Like, bro, it fucking saved my life.
Right.
It literally saved my life. And it saved my dad's life, too. So I think that was... and it's, I never even thought about that for a while. So the fact that you brought that up with your question is freaking amazing. But yeah, I would definitely say that is the biggest switch or, like, the biggest milestone that I can pinpoint. And I think it's also where I found my true love too, which was acting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Fun.
No, I mean.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
No, thank you. No, seriously, that was great. And, you know, it does. Like, things like mortality brings people a lot closer.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, no, it's crazy what it makes you just shift your entire perception of your entire life. And I can't even imagine what, like, that story is, like, kind of leaving me a little bit speechless because I'm sitting here and I'm like, wow, like, it's crazy how much passion can really, really save your life.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, thanks for that story. It was great. Shit, dude. fuck. All right.
I hope I didn't ruin this whole thing.
No. This is great.
It's such a beautiful story, and I just want to say, like, as much as you're saying that, like, getting into that place saved your life, like, it's not the admissions people or the application. Like,
yeah.
It is your support system that you created. It is about goal setting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really, really important thing that you do a lot, and it's not about people dictating, you know, whether your life goes on or not.
No,
like, it's an internal
not at all.
Thing. And I can tell that, like, it's your dad and you, like, found this external thing, but it was really a thing between you guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
No, for sure. And, you know, when you said that, it really, it sparked something within me personally. I was going to wait a little bit before talking about this, but
we're here.
I'll bring it up. I recently had a friend who died, who's my best friend. He was actually me and Wyatt's best friend. So that it's... Yeah, it's personally, you know, why I think that death brought me, my friends who were close to me, even closer, and really made me reevaluate my entire life. Mm. You know, when the idea of mortality and when you realize how short your life can be, it really puts everything into perspective, right? I was the same way before. You know, honestly... It's interesting because some of these podcast episodes were recorded before. And I was a little nervous to start. I had to take a break from recording because I was a little nervous to start recording them again because I was like, what if it's different?
Yeah.
What if I'm different? What if, you know, I can't get people to open up anymore because I'm too consumed by my own grief? Mm. And, you know, it took so long. And I mean, like, a full 2 months to kind of even think about doing this again. And, you know, like, and, you know, when you're saying, like, you know, it was a different person, you know, here and there. Yeah, me too. It became really different afterwards, you know. So I totally get it. It makes you, when you have a passion for something and, you know, yeah, just the idea of mortality just really, like, really makes you reassess your life.
I feel like older people who are either already in the business or working or things like that, they underestimate the things that we go through at our age because they're so far removed from it, you know?
Right.
They've been through much worse.
Right.
But I mean, the fact that, like, you went through a death, you know, and I've been through, like, you know, suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. We're so young.
Right.
It's just crazy. And I feel like we never acknowledge how much we can change while growing up. Like, I feel like life or the idea of how life is in college is, like, you live your life, you go to school, and then you get out of college, and the real world starts, right?
Yeah.
But this is the fucking real world.
Yeah.
I mean, like, losing someone at 20 years old, like, that's real.
Right. And especially, like, just losing yourself as well.
Yeah.
I think the thing is with all these things, you know, even with you having your suicidal thoughts and, like, me, like, having to deal with the death of a friend, we can't avoid this type of stuff. And especially nowadays, I feel like nowadays, like, this stuff is happening, like, a lot more.
Yeah.
To people around us.
especially with COVID too.
Especially with COVID, right? Absolutely. Ever since I realized that this life is so short, I've made it my life in a way that I do not do anything that doesn't make me happy or does not eventually lead to some sort of happiness.
Yeah.
I just think it's a waste of time, right? And so even, like, it kind of made me more focused in a way, even though the time before I definitely threw myself more into work. This entire, like, incident really made me look at myself and be like, what do I want?
Right.
Like, what do I want? I don't care about all these other people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you had, like, sort of a similar experience with your life.
No, exactly. I think what you're talking about is a different kind of focus. I think that because we are in school for so long, our idea of focus is study, work hard, forget about the world, just keep getting good grades, keep working, get a good job, right? And so I feel like because of what we went through, our new idea of focus is like, what are the things that I need to do to get me to where I want to go? Because where I want to go is truly what's going to make me happy, right? And I feel like because of what we went through, we also now focus on the things that make us happy in the moment. Like I feel like what's different than before and now is that before we were so focused on the future, we didn't give a shit about what's happening today. Mm-hmm. Now we're so focused on today because today is going to lead to our future.
Exactly.
Right? And so I feel like because of that new focus that you and I both have, that's what makes this so significant, you know? That's what makes every little action that we take so significant, because it's like, this is it. This is the step that I'm taking towards Broadway, towards, you know, working at a firm, you know, because it doesn't matter and it all matters, you know?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, I just want to remember myself as being someone who did what I said.
Yes.
I became a person, you know, even before this moment, but like, especially after this moment of action.
Yeah. Action. Action. Action.
You seem excited about that.
Yes. Because literally action is the only way to keep moving forward. I mean, you can have the most amazing ideas, and you could have thought of Uber first and Netflix first and all of those things, but if you didn't take action, it didn't mean shit.
Right.
I was reading this book called How to Succeed in the Arts or Anything by Ken Davenport. he's a producer on Broadway, and the one thing that he said that I thought was hilarious but has also just changed my entire mindset was, he said, you can't copyright an idea.
You can't
copyright an idea. Action is the only thing that you can do to keep moving forward. And when you said action, it just made me get super excited.
Say is that the arts don't pay well. What's your take on this?
Okay, I'm taking off my blanket now. Because y'all, this is something that I talk about all the time. I don't want to affect the mic. I talk about this all the time, because the idea of artists having to struggle in order to succeed, like we have to take the shitty gigs, or we have to take, you know, we have to be a waiter or waitress in order to succeed, that is bull crap. And that is stuff that older artists that have done that and are successful, yes, I'm not going to blame them. That's what they impart on us as younger artists. But there's so many avenues to make money now that they know that they still aren't even teaching us. Like, we should be learning about these things at school. But there's so many different avenues for us to make money now that it's ridiculous. I mean, there are literally people on TikTok who are millionaires.
Right.
Like, there are so many different avenues, and it's just the fact that we don't know about it. Yeah. That we don't have access to that. But my motto is that I want to fund my passion. I don't want my passion to fund me.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this college time, I've been doing everything that I can to create a financial, to make myself financially stable and financially free. And all the money that doesn't go into college goes into investing. So, like, money is a really important thing for me, because why do we have to start when we're adults? Like, why do we have to start investing or getting life insurance or things like that when we need it? Like, why can't we? If we start now, because of compound interest and just in learning in general, we'll be much, much better than our parents when we finally get to their age.
No, yeah. That's, like, a kind of minor passion of mine. I mean, not really minor. Because the one thing that always kind of deviated me from the creative path was the fact that it wasn't very financially stable.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a big deterrent for me for a while. And also a reason I'm starting all these creative projects is because if there's a way that I can make money off of helping creatives do their craft, or myself doing my own craft, then I want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And that's also the partly why I went to business school as well.
Yeah.
So, and that's what people have to realize as well, is that like creativity has two sides to it in the modern world, the actual work and the, how you market yourself and how much, how you ask for compensation and putting your work out there.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like all creatives would do great with having a little bit of a business knowledge to them.
Yes.
You know, and I guess like for you, I read that you wanted to eventually start, what you said like on your about page that at some point you would want to start a Broadway school?
A theater company. Yeah. A theater company. Probably similar to like what I did at Wildfish, where it's like a children's theater, or youth, more like youth theater, that not only teaches the students about the industry and auditioning and things like that, but also financial advice, like how to build wealth. Because I mean, you can learn that at 12 and then you'll be set by your 21, or you learn at 21, you'll be set by your 30, you know?
That's the biggest gap, I feel like, between a lot of these like wealth classes, because like a lot of people in lower income like wealth classes do not learn like how to like invest properly, or the fact that debt is not a bad thing, but you can use debt as like a positive thing as well.
Yes. I'm from a lower income, like, you know, I had to fill out the FAFSA like a trillion times,
right?
And, you know, do scholarships and stuff like that. So this is not coming from a person who has like lived a wonderful, wonderfully rich, you know, beautiful lifestyle.
Right,
like,
of course.
We have to work to get here, but the work doesn't always have to be miserable. Like, you don't have to work the 9 to 5 and work at McDonald's and stuff like that. Like, there are so many different avenues, and I think those are just things that we need to talk about. Because I feel like the reason why artists fall into that is because that's the only thing we know. I mean, I had friends in high school that was like, oh, it's all right. Like, I'll work at Starbucks while I'm in high school. Yeah, it's almost,
it's romanticized.
It is really definitely romanticized and glorified in that way. Like, oh, if you get your waiter and waitressing job, get it at a good restaurant. Get it at Chick-fil-A, you know, like at a place that'll pay you well. Like, no, don't go for that. Like, that's not where you want to be. So why be there? Yeah, I mean, like, you also hear a lot of like horror stories of like people having to get the waiter and waitressing jobs and then not being able to audition at all and then quitting because of it. It's like, fuck, like you didn't even get to start. Yeah, you didn't get to start. It's just a downward spiral. So money. It's important.
Yeah, money is important. That's why I also feel like, you know, obviously people shit on business majors. I get it. I think it's so important sometimes.
So important, yeah.
And I feel like also you mentioned a really good point about, you know, investing when you're young.
Yeah.
Because I fully believe if you put aside a little every day and put it in, you know, some sort of fund, that it, because of compound interest, it just will go up a lot more than as if you wait a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. So that's interesting that you, did you always kind of view finances in that way just because you did grow up sort of in this more creative field?
Yes. Not because of my creative field. I think my family has always been like very like wealth, or not all my entire family, but most, majority of my family have been very like wealth, like forward.
Do you come from an immigrant family, correct?
I'm mixed, so my mom is from the Philippines and my dad is from here.
But no, the reason I brought up the if you were from an immigrant family was because my immigrant family, money is a big, big deal.
Yeah.
It's like a massive deal. It's also very much a why I view my life in a way of like financial stability is really important to me. Right. So I guess it's interesting because you said how your mom was Filipino and your dad was from here, or your mom was from the Philippines. So did that like ever clash, or like how was that growing up, sort of?
Well, they were divorced for a long time, so I never really saw those worlds mix. I was definitely that world mixer, because like I would go to the Filipino parties and I'd be the only non-full Filipino there.
Right.
Same thing with the black parties. So being multiracial is not as glorified and romanticized as everyone thinks it is, because you are literally split between worlds and you're not even accepted in both worlds. Like, I like when I was at school, when I hung out with the black kids, I wasn't always like, I wasn't really black enough. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm with the Filipinos, I'm American, I'm too American. Mm-hmm. So I just had a hard time growing up because of that. And my parents are great. I mean, of course, they're going to be more progressive because they married each other and had an interracial, you know,
right.
like relationship and had a multiracial kid. So they're a little bit better about it. But like, man, was it hard growing up? Like, yeah.
No, I totally understand, you know, especially like, so my family's from Mauritius and there it's a big mixture of cultures, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't even really know what race I am, honestly, yeah. if we're going to be real, because
yeah.
I'm definitely not full Indian. Like, mm-hmm. I know my family is always like, yeah, yeah, but I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, point one more Indian that looks like me. All of y'all look similar. I do not look similar to you guys. Right. So, but it's very multicultural, right? So Mauritius is a big melting pot of African culture, European culture, and Indian culture.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right. So it's interesting because when growing up here, I never really fit in with anybody.
Right.
You know, like not the white kids, not the brown kids, not the Asian kids, like even like, you know, African kids, like they were never, I never really fit in with anybody properly. But what was really cool that I didn't realize until I was a little older, mm-hmm. because I didn't notice what I was doing, is that I code switched a lot.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, I code switched. Like right. when I was with the European kids, it's like, you know, speaking French, like doing a lot of things that, you know, white people would do. And then with Indian kids, I was also, I'm religious, so mm-hmm. I knew a lot of Indian customs, did that. Mm-hmm. African kids, food. It was like, I was so apparent what I was doing.
Yeah.
Until I grew up, I had no idea I was doing it.
Yeah.
Did you kind of experience a similar thing?
Oh, frick yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. Like, code switching is definitely a skill that I think people in our position definitely have, you know, grown accustomed to. Because, yeah, like, you know, I literally, like, when I'm around Filipino people, like, my Filipino accent comes out a little bit more because I want to blend in more. So, like, literally, it's almost like code switching is literally speaking a different language. But yeah, I did experience that too. I mean, I was in the show called To Pimp a Butterfly, and that was like the longest time and the most black people that I've been around in a really long time. So that was really cool, and I had a lot of fun with that one. I've never said the N-word so many times, so I was like, wow, I feel so free, you know? So, you know, like, I never know it's ever, like, allowed me to say that because I'm not black enough, right? So, it's experiences like that that you still go through, I mean, even now. But I feel like, yeah, because of code switching, like, I feel like that makes us better communicators because you code switch even with people not of different cultures, but just with different energies, you know?
Right. Has it helped you with your acting?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Definitely has helped me with acting because it's, like I said, it's a different language. So when you're getting into different characters, you're like, okay, yeah, this is not too different than a different culture. It's just a different person.
Right. So it was interesting because I actually started my own little drama program in my community center.
Okay.
When I was in high school, I was the director. And it was very easy for me, whenever I was directing all the kids in their parts, to switch between being the villain, switch being this character and that character and yeah. this character. And kind of show them how to do their parts so much that all of them were like, haha, you should like just do all the characters. And I realized it's because I constantly code switched when yeah. I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like going to school being one way, coming home and being a different way.
Yes.
Going to temple and being one way.
Yeah. Being holy, even though my thoughts were not.
exactly. And but one thing this also caused within myself was kind of I feel like I always wanted to just fit in
yeah.
for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I never really got to know my true self, mm-hmm. at least when I was living at my house,
mm-hmm.
because I was constantly code switching
yes.
all the time. Did it feel like that for you?
Yeah, I still want to fit in. Like, more than anything, like, I'm just like, oh, I feel so different all the time. Which I'm like so okay with. I'm like, I'd rather be unique. I'd rather be the one out of a million, you know?
Right.
One out of anything. But yeah, I definitely feel that way. 100%. Tell me more about what your experience. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess like for me, it was also interesting because, so getting to know myself was something that I only got to really do when I was in college. Mm-hmm. Because I moved out mm-hmm. of that very safe environment mm-hmm. into a new one, it forced me to really evaluate, what do I want?
Yes.
Right? And that also came out in relationships as well.
Oh, oh Lord.
I guess, like, at this point, but also for future, what's kind of your viewpoint on relationships and how it's going to fit on your life?
Well, first of all, I would love a relationship. I'd love to be in a relationship. But I want to call it a partnership for sure. Mm-hmm. Because I would want to be with someone who is going towards my dreams and goals, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, similar to how, like, we were talking about how, like, you and your mom, like, every morning you wake up and you don't go to sleep at the same time. And
yeah.
How me and my dad, like, we wake up and we do our morning routines and things like that. I'd want a partnership that would be similar to that kind of relationship because we're not just giving each other the emotional support that we all know and need and love as human beings, but we're also giving ourselves the like career support, you know, like we're both going in the same direction and we're like both helping each other win, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Now, do you need that person to be as ambitious as you are?
Fuck yes. What? Is that a question? Oh my God.
Really?
Like, imagine if they weren't. Like, imagine if you came home after a long day of work and they were just sitting on the couch watching TV. And they were there since this morning.
I mean, some people like that. Some people like...
I could not. I mean, I don't want to be like the hardworking dad with the stay-at-home dad. Like, that's not... Like, that's... No. Like, we're both hardworking and we both come home to our beautiful, like, babies and we give them all the love. Like, that's what I would want. I'm sorry. I could not be with someone who's not as ambitious as I am. Even something more immediate than relationships, friendships that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even the friends who couldn't understand how ambitious you are, you had to get rid of because they were slowing you down. I mean...
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with... I feel like we think of relationships and friendships as very, like, different things, but they're all one and the same. Like, if you wouldn't have them as your friend, why would you date them?
Yeah, I don't really get that whole statement.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you can't be friends with them, then what's the point? If y'all can't just, like, hang out with a group of friends and not be, like, relationship-y, then, like...
Same thing with your friends. If you wouldn't date your friend, you're probably not really great friends either. Because I mean, like,
that's interesting because I don't think that's true.
Really?
Because I'm friends with a lot of straight guys, and I'm straight. And we're gonna comment on me and Ryan for one second. we're gonna do that.
It's like a straight up roast session, right?
Yeah, no, we're gonna comment on me and Ryan. So me and Ryan are like best friends at this point. Like we see each other like every fucking day. Love the kid, but we're too similar to date.
Uh-huh.
Like, if I'm annoyed at something, he's probably 10 times more annoyed and he's gonna bring me up to his level annoyed.
Yeah.
If I'm angry about something, I'm probably 10 times more angry than he is and I'm gonna bring him up to the amount of angry.
Yeah.
We just make each other more like, more stressed out, honestly.
Yeah.
Because we agree with each other.
Yeah.
So, let's just say me and Wyatt, I love him. It would cause me too much anxiety. You know, funny story. Right. First time, I think it was like first or second time we came into this apartment.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have 1,400 hours to be decorating my entire apartment. That's such a, if I'm tired, like, and I'm not doing work, I'm probably just laying on my couch doing nothing, right? Wyatt walks into this apartment and goes, oh, so I see that we haven't finished decorating here.
No.
And I'm like, did I ask your damn opinion? I'm like, do you think I have like 1,400 hours to decorate this place?
It's not done necessarily.
No. Yeah, we're going to get done. Why? But point is, a lot of my friends are like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's also being honest, right? Because I love my friends to death.
Mm-hmm.
But love isn't enough.
Yeah. Well, okay. Because you said what you said,
yeah.
I'm gonna also add to what I said too. Because what I meant was that like if you wouldn't date your friends, like you probably shouldn't be friends with them. What I meant was that like the good qualities that you find in your best friends, like there are amazing qualities that you have that you see in Wyatt that
of
you're
course.
Like, oh, he's amazing. Like if like you'd want that in a partner too.
Like, right, of course.
Of course, you probably aren't gonna be like, oh yeah, why I'm down for all my straight friends. Like, okay, like every single one of you, like, come to my apartment right now. That's not really what I mean. I just meant like in terms of just like the quality of the people that you are around.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
We should definitely look at them as if we were judging them to marry or like judging them to be in a relationship with. Like that's what I meant to say. That's how important all of it is. Yeah, it's all partnership.
Yeah, now that I shat on Wyatt a bit, I can also use this as a great, you know, whatever, is that Wyatt is probably one of the few people that I can work on a project like this with.
Oh, yeah.
And not be just because I know a lot of creative people too who... very similar, you know, field of work and stuff. But he is someone who is one of the most ambitious people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Since we first met each other, we've known that's how we've both always been. So, I totally get it. If he was not the way he is, which is basically me, but in a man form and less filters, then I don't think I could work with him.
No. And I that's just wrong Wyatt. Now I just want to say that I'm slightly obsessed with you. I'm just saying, like, literally how I met him was we were in the dining hall like freshman year. And I remember he passed me and I thought, oh my fucking God, like that is a sexy ass man. Like that. No, but I was like, damn, that guy is hot. And like we ended up sitting next to each other and I was just like, oh, I love your nails. Like, you know, because they were like painted blue or something like that. but like I remember that was like the first time I met him. But then after that, like I started seeing more of his life because he would post it on Instagram. He like made the you know, he would do like his like skits every day.
Oh, in the mornings. Yeah,
in the morning at 6 a.m.
I was like, that's crazy. No. Yeah.
Yeah, but after I saw that, I was like, dude, this dude's really, really cool. Like, I would love to get to know him more. And then he invited me to do this podcast, and I'm like so honored because this is so much fun.
First couple of conversations me and Wyatt had were about podcasts.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he was telling me how much he really wanted to start a podcast. And that was like way in freshman year. That was probably like a year and a half before I actually brought it up again. And so it was kind of interesting for us how that came across, because I was telling Wyatt as a friend that I was going to start this podcast in the beginning. And then at some point I was like, crazy thought. Do you want to do it with me? And that's kind of how we've done this podcast, is by prioritizing it in our life.
Yeah. It's so interesting because, like, it really does take a partnership with these sort of things.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like I, you know, said I wanted to start a podcast. I listened to a ton of podcasts, have an interest in that. But, like, maybe I was never meant to do it just by myself.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe Pooja was never meant to do it by herself. For sure. I happen to have these microphones, like, I love editing and scripting stuff out. Like, it's kind of, it does take, you know, it takes a partnership.
And, yeah.
You know, that's the lesson that we can take from this.
Yeah.
No, it does. It takes, and as we were talking about before, of how, like, even with your support system, like, how you need people.
Yeah.
Like, you do need people. And, you know, even with this podcast, like, the way we're doing it, like, usually people have, like, a ton of people on it. There's, like, the editing people, there's whatever, there's the marketing people, there's people doing graphics, there's people doing music. And for us, like, you know, besides my friend Tyrese, who's helping us do
the music.
Oh, yes, you're from NSB,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's in my family, like, my NSB family, too.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, but so we're having, like, besides him, it's just us two, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, me, like, Wyatt doing a lot of the grunt, like, audio work.
Yeah.
And, you know, clipping, and me doing a lot of the marketing side and the legal side and getting all these random forms in and, you know, doing media kits.
Yeah.
And it's been such a rewarding experience, especially having someone to do it next to me.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to bring it back to what we said about action, because that's what it takes. I mean, I doubt any of those podcasts started with having that huge team all together to start it. Because, I mean, like, why would you want to hire six people for something that you don't even know is going to be successful yet, right? But it just starts with the Wyatt and the Pooja, you know, doing something fun and coming up with ideas and starting the podcast. That's what I meant by action, because it doesn't have to be like, I want to create the best podcast in all of the world. And just be like, I want to start a podcast and do it, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is, it's also like, the action comes after letting go of expectation. right?
Can we please like timestamp that? Like,
yes, sir.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that was the biggest hurdle for me to start taking all these actions, was letting go of the expectation.
Yeah. Because the here's the thing that I learned too, is that the motivation, the drive, the passion, the love for it actually comes after you do it. Because when you're psyching yourself up to do it, it seems impossible. I mean, like, I want to go to Broadway. That is equivalent to live theaters Hollywood. Like,
yeah,
that
course.
Seems impossible. And so many people go for it and so many people fail. Like,
yeah,
that it's scary as hell. But when I look at it as like, okay, today I'm working on my splits. Tomorrow I'm working on a backflip. You know, like if I work on it, small actions every day, I will get there. I mean, like, yeah. it doesn't really take that long. You just have to have a lot of focused work and a lot of action to get to where you need to go.
Right.
And I feel like that's what we're learning in college. We're like learning how to maintain life, you know?
Yeah. And have you experienced setbacks before? Because
setbacks? Yeah. Yes.
And so I guess like, why I'm asking that in such, I guess, a direct way,
yeah,
is because we can sit here and we can talk all about how little action every single day,
yeah,
and how it all piles up. But I think when you do that, you're obviously someone who takes a lot of pride in what they do. Yeah. So what do you do when you have a setback and all that pride kind of just like, pff?
I call my dad. That's the truth. I mean, yes, that is also true, but I'm going to say that is a hard question to answer because it's not always the same thing every time. Because one setback could be someone says something to me that just made me feel awful about myself and like, mm-hmm. and I just kind of gave up with what I was doing that day because I just felt so bad. You know, mm-hmm. how do you deal with that versus I was doubting myself all day just because I saw someone not more talented, but I saw someone do something and I realized that I couldn't do it and I don't know if I can ever do that. And that's another setback. So I think I haven't figured it out yet, but so far what has seemed to work has just been refocusing, you know, like, I have a dream and goal to go to Broadway. And when I think about Broadway and I think about being there and the people that I'll be surrounded with and the hard work that I put into it and all of those things, like that's what keeps me focused. Because if I just focus on the shitty thing that happened to me today, I'll only be focused on that and it's going to stop me.
No, I like the fact that you said you didn't figure it out.
Yeah, I still haven't figured it out.
Because I think sometimes when people who are such hard workers and they come here talk about their experience, it's like people sometimes perceive you as being someone who has it all figured out. And yes. That's not necessarily how it works. You know.
I have not figured it out. Like, for the record, circle, highlight.
I don't think anybody
figures it out. I literally was like, Dad, you're an adult now. Like, do you have it figured out? And he was like, no. Like, and I feel like as kids, we were always like, adults know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I legit, until last year, I thought, well, knowledge comes with age. So once I hit 21, once I hit 23, I'll be Broadway ready. Until I like had this fucking like huge meltdown over winter break. And I was like, wait, I have to work to get there. Wait, what do I do?
And I think adults have that meltdown all the time too.
Yeah.
Like, really?
No,
yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
No, sometimes I forget that adults are like people too. Like yeah. I feel like I'm not going to change on the way I freak out now versus in 10 years. That would be the different things to freak out about.
Right.
But it's astonishing because whenever we talk about these type of things, I feel like, again, when people who do like crazy things like you, and like you're talking about how you like invest and you meditate and you do all these stretches in the morning and a morning routine, and it's all great and dandy, it's all fine, but that's our path to figuring it out.
Yes,
that's kind of
yes.
the first step. That isn't the destination.
It is.
People have to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I very much emphasize this because I think, I mean, I know a couple of my friends back home here in my life, my family, perceived to me as having, you know, my shit together. I mean,
because I mean, well, if you think about it, Pooja, I mean, like, look at their lives compared to your life, compared to what if they're comparing themselves to you, you have your shit together.
And that's the thing also. It's like, I think the expectation that, like, I'm gonna be a certain way, it's not always the same pretty picture, you know? Like, when I tell people, like, I had a really bad day and I just didn't feel like doing work, so I sat on my couch and watched TV for 8 hours, people are like, what?
You're a normal person?
And I'm like, It's like, I'm still, like, human being. Yeah. You know, everything is a process. And, you know, a setback, be setback. Honestly, if you don't experience setbacks, like, like, it's not gonna work.
Yeah,
like,
y'all, I just wanna say, the process isn't always success. You're gonna fail way more than you succeed.
Exactly.
And I think, I actually think we should strive for failure. I think, and striving for failure is different than giving up to fail. Because striving for failure is working your ass off, doing the little actions every day, going for it, and then just happening to fail.
Yeah.
That's striving for failure. Giving up and failing is completely different because that's just you giving up. I don't condone that. I don't think that's a way for anyone to live by, especially because I've lived by that at some point and it didn't work out. So, but striving to fail is so much better because you're going to fail way more than you succeed. If you look at failure as success, you will be successful your entire life because you fail so much.
Right. And I always say this, success is skill, determination, hard work, and a little bit of luck. And that little bit of luck is the only thing that you want to be left in the air.
Yes.
Because at least if you fail, you know that it wasn't about you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about how hard you worked. It wasn't about your skill set. It wasn't about, you know, the fact that you were really lazy like didn't learn and didn't do things properly. And, you know, with everything I do, you know, with the fashion page I'm starting, with this, it's okay if it fails. Like, I think a lot of people, like, run away from failure, but it's okay because at least I know it's not about me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think sometimes people take failure and they associate it with their self-esteem, and that's why it's hard.
Yes.
And I totally get it. Yeah. It makes sense. But I guess the point I wanted to make is that making the only thing variable the luck, if the luck is the only thing that's, like, undetermined, then at least you can take those skills and try other things.
Yes, yes. And yes. Mm-hmm. All of those things. So whoever you believe in, God, the universe, whatever, all of the, like, the little luck that we get, that all comes from the work that we put in. Because we're not going to get blessed, or the miracle's not going to happen if we don't put the work in. Because that is just the little bit of stuff that we don't have control over. That's where the blessing comes. You know, you were working so hard toward to get to school. You were working towards the scholarships and you didn't have the money. But someone donated $2,000 randomly from an anonymous donor, and boom, now you can pay tuition. That's because of the work that you put in. If you didn't put that work in, no one's going to donate $2,000 to you. Like, where are you expecting the help to come from? But the same thing, with the higher powers. Higher powers aren't going to give you what you don't work for.
Exactly. And I say that for the good things and the bad things.
Yeah.
I believe that every bad moment leads to a lesson that you should learn.
Yes.
And I fully stand by that because I've tried to take every single bad moment in my life and turn it into something positive.
Yeah.
So that's the only way. And, you know, I think the one thing that I have really, really tried to master, and I think it's still a continual journey, is this journey of happiness.
The journey of happiness.
So for you.
But is it the journey of happiness, the journey of joy?
See, that's a thing, right? And that's a, kind of the question I was going to ask you as sort of like a final question. Are you happy?
I would say in this very moment, I am happy. But I will also say that happiness is fleeting. I think the ultimate goal is to find joy. Because happiness is an emotion, but it's not always sustainable, but joy, like joy in, you can be miserable and still have joy in something. Like, I can be doing my stretches and I'm not happy because it hurts, right? But I have so much joy because I'm thinking about how much this can help me get to my dreams and goals. So I am happy right now. Yes, I am happy. But my ultimate goal is to find joy in everything that I do.
Yeah, like chasing more of that long-term emotion. Yeah, that long-term that isn't joy. Affected by the events that are happening
yeah,
around you.
Yeah, yeah,
but affected by more about what you're feeling.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you so much, Ashi.
Absolutely.